Now, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
That's it. Pack it up.
You're listening to Astro Talk with Marco on CITR 101.9.
Marco, CITR.ca, or CITR101.9 on AstroTalk. And that was Moni Love and Sarah. So how is everybody? There is a ton of, I can't say a ton, I should say a universe full of new news in astronomy. And I was listening to the a show, Professor Brian Cox, and on BBC Earth. And he talks about how did we get here, and there's lots of things, interesting things that he talked about. One thing in particular that got me, there's so many parameters that were, for example, the speed of light. He said if the speed of light was a bit lower, we wouldn't have had as much carbon in our universe as we do now. And the speed of light, if it were higher, let's say somehow the natural phenomenon, it was higher than 3.0 × 10⁸ meters per second, we wouldn't have as much oxygen. So a lot of things happened in our universe that gave us the universe we have. If things would have happened differently, a different scale, different constants, we would have had a totally different universe. And one thing that is very interesting to me is about the electronegativity of the hydrogen atom as opposed to the oxygen atom. So when we have H2O, the O's are more electronegative than the H. So what happens? We have a stronger electronegativity, and there is a bigger disparity in the charges. So you have a polar molecule. And when we have a polar molecule, for example, in water, H2O's, the H's are on one side of the bond and the O's on the other. So what happens is they can align themselves. It's called hydrogen bonding. It's a force. It's not a bond. But we call it hydrogen bonding. And what happens is if the science played itself out, so the first few elements under oxygen in the periodic table, their freezing point is very low. And H2O makes a departure because oxygen is, as opposed to hydrogen, is very electronegative. So it's a very polar molecule. So water freezes at a much higher temperature than, if you look at the data from the previous elements, water should have frozen at a much lower temperature. So we're here because of that, because hot water freezes at such a high temperature relative to what you would expect by looking at trends in the periodic table. So there's many little things that happened, maybe millions and billions of things that happened throughout the formation of our universe. For example, as I mentioned earlier, if the speed of light was a bit lower, we wouldn't have as much carbon in our world. If the speed of light somehow at the beginning of the universe turned out to be higher, we wouldn't have as much oxygen. So would we be here? There's a lot of little things that happened throughout, and this Professor Brian Cox, throughout the formation of our universe. And this Professor Brian Cox noted in something called the COBE, it's a background survey of, it's a photo of the Big Bang. There's little temperature fluctuations. He said if there were not these temperature fluctuations, little bits, little areas where there was different temperatures, galaxies could not have formed. So there's all these little steps that took place to give us the universe we have now. If those things didn't play out as they did, we might not be here. There might be other universes where the speed of light is higher, because after their Big Bang, then certain constants were determined by how their Big Bang played out, just like with our Big Bang. So this cosmology stuff, it's very interesting, the theory of the evolution of our universe. So I would like to talk about that, but I found one article. So let's talk about this. It's dated August 4th, 2017, and it is called Dark Energy / Matter. So we're talking about dark energy or dark matter. It's on www.nasa.gov. And the article is New Clues to Universe's Structure Revealed. So we're going to read the article. It's dated August 4th, and it has a picture here. Okay, so this is a map of dark matter made from gravitational lensing measurements of 26 million galaxies in the Dark Energy Survey. Now, if we pause to think about that for a sec, 26 million galaxies, isn't that amazing? If we have our Milky Way galaxy, if we assume it's an average-sized galaxy, imagine 26 million Milky Ways, and they're going to make a map of it. It's a dark energy survey or a dark energy map. Now, this is made from gravitational lensing. So as I mentioned in other shows before, what happens if, let's say, we have a galaxy that's 12 billion light years away from us, very far, so far. It almost took shape after the Big Bang, just after the Big Bang. So their light takes 12 million years to get here. And that light sometimes is going to be so faint we can't see it. But if this light passes close to another galaxy, the mass or the gravity of that galaxy acts like a lens and it magnifies it. So the background light is magnified by the foreground galaxy. So that's how sometimes scientists or astronauts can see this. So I'm going to read this little caption below the picture. I stopped, but I shouldn't stop. This time I won't stop. Okay. Map of dark matter made from gravitational lensing measurements of 26 million galaxies in the Dark Energy Survey. The map covers about 1/30th of the entire sky and spans several billion light years in extent. Red regions have more dark matter than average, blue regions less dark matter. So it's kind of like a mosaic, something like maybe Pablo Picasso would paint. It's got some blue, red, dark red, yellow, light blue, dark blue, all kinds of orange. And this is supposed to be a map of dark matter. Now, this is so complicated. Gee, it would take a PhD in astronomy to figure it out. But anyway, here it's a plot of density of matter versus the position in the sky. So it's a map of the dark energy in our sky. That's quite amazing. The credits are from the Kavli Institute for Cosmological Physics at the University of Chicago. And the person, I think, is Chiwei Chang that is doing this map. Okay, and so I'm going to read the article. So again, the article is dated August 4th, 2017. And the name of the article is New Clues to Universe's Structure Revealed. Here goes the article. What is our universe made of and has its composition changed over time? Scientists have new insights about these fundamental questions thanks to an international collaboration of more than 400 scientists called the Dark Energy Survey. Wow, isn't that amazing? A group of 400 scientists that are doing something called a Dark Energy Survey. So where are we? Okay, so I went to the Dark Energy Survey page, and it's www.darkenergysurvey.org. And it's got a observatory on Earth here, and it's quite a beautiful picture. So if you want to go to it, it's www.darkenergysurvey.org. So let's go back to the original article. Three scientists from NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California, are part of this group that is helping to further our understanding of the structure of the universe. The advances in astrophysics from the Dark Energy Survey, DES, are crucial to preparations for two upcoming space missions that will probe similar questions about the nature of the universe. The European Space Agency's ESA's Euclid mission, which has significant NASA participation, and NASA's Wide Field Infrared Survey Telescope mission, both expected to launch in the 2020s. So says Andreas Plazas Malagon, a postdoctoral researcher at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, who helped characterize Dark Energy's Dark Energy Camera, or DES's Dark Energy Camera detectors, and who is also involved in detector studies for WFIRST. I'll talk about WFIRST in a second. So here's the quote. With this study, we are showcasing what's going to be possible with these much more complex observatories, end quote. So W First, I interviewed Dr. Dominic Benford last year. He's a scientist, a researcher at, I think, in Washington, D.C. or Maryland. So W First is the telescope that will succeed the James Webb Telescope. So Hubble's up there now. It's been there for 25 years. James Webb Telescope, supposed to launch this year. Actually, that's it was supposed to have launched a couple of years ago, but they're, I believe, setting a target date to launch this year. They might not meet it, but if they don't launch this year, they'll launch next year. And WFIRST is the telescope that will succeed James Webb, and it's a dark matter, dark energy hunter. It will tell us more about dark energy and dark matter. Okay, now back to the article. Leading modes of the universe suggest it is mostly composed of entities we cannot see, dark matter and dark energy. Dark matter acts like invisible glue, holding galaxies and galaxy clusters together gravitationally, while dark energy is thought to be responsible for the accelerated expansion of the universe. Some of our best predictions for how much dark matter and dark energy are in the universe come from the European Space Agency's Planck satellite, which looks at the light from about 400,000 years after the Big Bang. So isn't that quite amazing? Looking back 12 or 13 billion years, that is really something. Now, but let's pause for a second. Now, if the universe is 13 billion years old, let's say it is, okay, let's give it that, 13.5 billion years old. So 13 billion years ago, everything was much closer together. So if we look back in the time 13 billion years, we're not seeing something that's 13 billion light years away. We're seeing something that was close to us because everything was packed very close together. So that, I just don't get that. I don't get that. If you look back in a time, you've seen something 13 billion light years away, but 13 billion years ago, everything was so close. So it wasn't 13 billion light years away. It was close to us. So I can't come to terms with that. But anyway, let's get back to the article. Leading models of the universe suggest it is mostly composed of dark matter and dark energy. Dark matter acts like invisible glue, holding galaxies and galaxy clusters together gravitationally, while dark energy is thought to be responsible for the accelerated expansion of the universe. I'm reading that again, I'm sorry. Some of our best predictions for how much dark matter and dark energies are in the universe come from the Planck satellite. Now, the Dark Energy Survey has examined the composition of the recent universe. Remarkably, the new results are close to forecasts made from Planck measurements of the distant past, allowing scientists to understand more about how the universe has evolved over approximately 14 billion years. The findings were revealed in a presentation at the American Physical Society Division of Particles and Field Meetings at the U.S. Department of Energy's Fermi National Acceleration Laboratory in Batavia, Illinois. So, again, I'm going to pause and I'm going to say, in our world, I think I can say I started at this show 3 years ago. And when I travel here, it's a couple of miles. But when we're talking about the universe, something that is 14 billion light years away, that's hard to fathom, isn't it? The distance light travels in a year, that's hard to fathom itself. But 14 billion light years. So again, another thing we come across in astronomy, the scale of things that we just don't, we cannot comprehend. We probably, the fastest we'll ever go is maybe 500 miles an hour in a plane. We don't go 3 million kilometer or 1.8 million miles a second. So again, when we're talking about astronomy, the scales and the time factors, distance factors, everything boggles the mind. Okay, back to the article. Now there is a quote from Jet Propulsion Laboratory's Tim Eifler, who led the Dark Energy Survey analysis team that developed the science software for the interpretation of the results. End quote. The Planck results have been the landmark constraints in cosmology. It is truly amazing that you have a model that describes the universe at 400,000 years old, and now we have a similarly precise measurement of the universe at 13 billion years old that agrees with that model. Okay, so what I'm going to do now, I am going to go for a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about dark energy. So this is Marco. You're listening to Astro Talk on CITR 101.9.
Gone. She's not dead.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. Soundtracking your free love on the Free Love Freeway since 1982.
Long time later, see a cowboy crying. Says, hey buddy, what can I do? Says, I lived a good life, about a thousand women. I said, well, why the tears? He says, because none of them was you. No, he's looking at a photograph. No, of his girlfriend. The video would have shown that, yeah.
It sounds a bit gay. Right?
It's not gay.
Trills Mania. Fresh off the runway, pier white nights. Then I'm top cop on that I-95. Pink seals like a suit, who but I? On my way to party at Karoo and Y.
You're back with Marco on Astro Talk on CITR 101.9 FM.
Welcome back. You're with Marco on Astro Talk, CITR 101.9. Let's go. Let's talk about this dark energy and dark matter. So I'm going to get back to the article. The article is dated August 4th, 2017. And the date of it, or the title of it, is New Clues to Universe's Structure Revealed. So this is talking about dark energy and dark matter, where the Dark Energy Survey, DES, made a gravitational lensing measurements of 26 million galaxies. So that is quite a few galaxies, isn't it? Okay, so back to the article. Scientists find that about 70% of the energy in the universe is contained in dark energy. About 25% is composed of the mysterious dark matter, with normal matter making up the remainder, which is about 5%. So dark energy is 70, dark matter is 25. So 95% of the universe we cannot see. We don't know what it is. 5% we can see. All of this agrees with precise measurements made to date. So far, the Dark Energy Survey has found no evidence that the amount of dark energy has changed over time, a finding that is consistent with Albert Einstein's ideas of a cosmological constant. The results are especially important to the scientific community because they mark the first time that observations from the most recent universe, the adult universe, by a technique called gravitational lensing galaxy clustering, have yielded results as precise as those from the cosmic microwave background radiation light from the infant universe. So says Eric Huff, a JPL researcher who invented a new method of extracting the weak lensing signal, enhancing the precision of the Dark Energy Survey galaxy shape catalogs, and quote, this is the crossover point where gravitational lensing and galaxy clustering measurements and surveys will be the primary driver of what we know about dark energy in the universe, end quote. So they're getting closer, or are they, to knowing what dark energy is? Back to the article. The results come the first year data set of the Dark Energy Survey, which uses a 570 megapixel camera mounted on the 4-meter Blanco telescope at the National Optical Astronomy Observatory's Cerro Teolo Inter-American Observatory in Chile. Its data are processed at the National Center for Supercomputing at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. So imagine a telescope that's 4 meters. So you guys, maybe younger guys, were brought up with metric, but for us guys, that's about 13 or 14 feet. So that's about, if you take two Michael Jordans and stand them end to end, so hi Michael Jordan, I'm using you in astronomy, I hope you don't mind. So you take two Michael Jordans, or two tall people, put them end to end, that's the diameter of the telescope. That's pretty big. That's amazing, isn't it? And they even have bigger ones. So with those big suckers, you can see a lot. Okay, to measure dark matter, scientists first created maps of galaxy positions. Then they precisely measured the shapes of 26 million galaxies to directly map patterns of dark matter over billions of light years using gravitational lensing and galaxy clustering. I'm going to veer away from the article a bit. So imagine that. What kind of brain power does that take to say, okay, I'm going to send some telescopes up there and I'm going to map something that happened billions of years ago? So how can you map dark energy? Wow, that's amazing. So they took the shapes of 26 million galaxies to directly map patterns of dark matter over billions of light years. So that's quite amazing what these scientists do. Would love to see that in progress. Okay, back to the article. The Dark Energy Survey team developed new ways to detect the tiny lensing distortions of galaxy images. In the process, they created the largest guide to spotting dark matter in the cosmos ever drawn. The new dark matter map is 10 times the size of the one the Dark Energy Survey released in 2015 and continues to grow. The Dark Energy Survey collaboration will publish on a data set 5 times larger over the next 2 years. So says Eric Huff, the JPL researcher, and quote, "There is a feeling of true discovery in the collaboration. For the first time, we have data and tools in hand to see whether Einstein's cosmological constant prevails. We're all excited to explore the physical nature of dark energy. In particular, we want to see if there are hints in the data that suggest modifying the laws of gravity on the largest scales in the universe," end quote. So that's the end of the article. So that's quite amazing stuff. It's about dark energy and dark matter, something we don't really, I can be told what dark energy is, but what does that mean? What does dark matter mean? So there are many observatories now. Now let's look at one called New Star. So what New Star does, what does New Star stand for? I told you guys there before. Hopefully he's here. There's another article dated June 13th, 2017. So New Star's first 5 years in space. So it's a big N, small U, big S, big T, big A, big R. New, I think, is nuclear. So I'm going to see if I can find out what New Star means. There, I can click this. So the article is dated June 13th, 2017. And it's called New Star's First 5 Years in Space. So I try to click it. It didn't tell me. Okay. 5 years ago, on June 13th, 2012, Caltech's Fiona Harrison, principal investigator of NASA's New Star mission, watched her team as their black hole spying spacecraft was launched into space aboard a rocket strapped to the belly of an aircraft. The launch occurs over the Kwajalein Atoll in the Marshall Islands. Many members of the team anxiously followed the launch from the Missions Operations Center at the University of California, Berkeley, anxious to see what New Star would find. Now Harrison shares her take on the five of the mission's many ionic images and artistic concepts, ranging from our flaring sun to distance-buried black holes. New Star is the first telescope capable of focusing high-energy X-rays and has taken the most detailed images of the sky in the regime to date. Well, this is interesting. I wish I could talk more about it, but my time's up. So there's lots of very interesting stuff going on in astronomy with the New Star, with so many projects that Dark Energy Survey. So this is Marco. Thank you for listening. You have been listening to Astro Talk, where today we talked about new clues to the universe's structure revealed. So thank you for listening. I'm signing off. See you next week.